All fares up by an average of 2.2%. Fares regulated by the government, meanwhile, including season tickets, are up by 2.5%. Train companies say it's the lowest rise for 5 years, but campaigners say it's still much higher than the growth in wages. Patrick McLaughlin told Adrian Goldberg on BBC WM earlier that fare rises are funding much-needed investment.
We are still, as a country, supporting the rail industry overall by £4 billion a year, £4,000 million a year. That's going on infrastructure, it's going on new rolling stock, it's going on continuing to make sure that we operate a very safe railway.
That's the Transport Secretary, Patrick McLaughlin. The sale of Birmingham's NEC Group is expected to be announced soon, according to the City Council. The group of venues includes the National Exhibition Centre, the International Convention Centre, the LG Arena and the National Indoor Arena. It's being sold because the authority faces a £1.1 billion bill for equal pay claims. A merchant ship carrying hundreds of migrants is being towed into port in southern Italy after it was found drifting without any crew. Coast guards were airlifted onto the ship, which was abandoned by suspected people smugglers. It's the second time this week that Italian authorities have had to take action to rescue migrants left adrift. The Labour MEP, Claude Moraes, says European Union countries have to do more to address the flow of desperate people coming from Africa and the Middle East.
Big member states are not joining Italy and burden sharing to actually rescue people. And if I think citizens in the European Union understood what was really happening, that managing this situation is better on a human level and an economic level than just letting it go into chaos like we've seen just now, because ultimately the member states will be cleaning up the mess.
Cancer charities have said people should still try to follow a healthy lifestyle despite new research which found that many cancers were the result of bad luck. The study said many cases were because of random mutations when cells in the body divide. Doctors say that avoiding smoking and controlling your weight would still help cut the risks, though. And Tony Pulis is due to give his first press conference as the new West Bromwich Albion head coach in the next hour. Pulis is likely to reveal details of his backroom staff, which will include his assistant Dave Kemp, who was issuing instructions to the players during the second half of yesterday's 1-1 draw at West Ham. Pulis will also discuss tomorrow's FA Cup third round tie at home to Gateshead. Taking a look at the weather, it should be dry with sunshine, a bit breezy this afternoon, largely dry tonight. We could see the odd snow on high ground with a low of 1 Celsius, 34 Fahrenheit. Saturday's looking wet, especially in the morning. Occasional sunshine in the afternoon, though, with highs of 5 Celsius, 41 Fahrenheit. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Who is the best presenter on BBC WM 95.6?
Danny Kennedy.
Who's the second best presenter?
Caroline Martin.
Ian Lee.
BBC WM 95.6.
Smooth handover there from Molly Green. That was it. You know, listen, you have a week off, 2 weeks off, however long it's been, and everything goes to pot. Not literally. That would be... no. Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Is this you, Joe? Is that you? No, that's not you. I can't get you. We can't hear you, but we'll sort out the desk so that you can hear her voice. Lots coming up in the show. What? I'll tell you now.
Woody?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir? Good grief, what's going on?
You want Frankie or Paul?
Whatever you want, Woody.
I can't repeat that, mate.
The football phone in.
6 till 7.
BBC WM.
95.6.
Boom shakalaka. I'm in a different studio. Joe's there.
Hello.
So I can't see you, which in many ways is a bonus. But it's just it's confusing. Just being in a slightly different room is confusing. And I've noticed I'm in the room that's got all the flipping Christmas decorations up. It's got the tints... That's coming off. We're not... It's done now, guys. It's over. Oh, it's actually longer than I was expecting it to be. I thought this would be a quick little... It will come off... Right, it will come off during the show. Flipping... It annoys me. Are yours down?
Down yesterday afternoon.
Man alive. Good. The Christmas decoration should be down. I noticed in the mailbox that the remnants of the Christmas... It's not a real Christmas tree. Guys, what? It's made out of metal and they just hung things on it? It's coming down. By the time this show is finished, than that Christmas. Good, good riddance to it. Where are we? 2015 now, for goodness sakes. Christmas is a thing of the past. Why aren't you back at work, you slackers? That's what I want to know. Oh, what number is the number here? 03453-00956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. It's kind of a little bit random on the veranda. There's not that much in the papers, really.
Quite a bit.
There's a bit, but it's rubbish. All it is, I tell you what's in the papers, a woman that can predict the future using the power of asparagi. I'm assuming that's the plural of an asparagus, isn't it? It would be.
No, asparaguses.
You wouldn't say asparaguses. No one in their right mind would say asparaguses. The Queen wouldn't. Asparagus is the only food, apart from a sandwich or crisps, that you can eat in front of the Queen using your fingers. Fact.
And it makes your wee smell.
It makes your wee smell of Cocoa Pops. No, not Cocoa Pops. That's if your weeing looks like Cocoa Pop milk, boy oh boy, I urge you to get to the doctor immediately. It smells of sugar puffs.
Yes.
That's what it does.
But only for some people, because some people don't have the enzyme.
I don't like beetroot, but when I've eaten it, I've been disappointed to find that I have normal coloured urine.
You haven't eaten enough of it.
03453-00956. How much beetroot does a man have to eat to change the colour to make the milk go brown? No, hang on a second. It's been a long time since I've sat in this room. What's in the paper? A woman who can read your fortune using asparagus. Have you heard this woman?
I haven't even seen this story.
Where is it? She's in... Oh, look, she's in the... we haven't got the sun. Could you find the sun? There's a pile of papers over there. Could you see if the sun is over there? This is brilliant, right? This is a woman who claims to be able to predict the future using asparagi. Now, listen, guys. A, you can't predict the future anyway because it happened. And B, asparagi? She kind of tosses them. Is it there?
No.
Oh.
I'll go upstairs now.
OK, go and have a quick look. I'll play a record in a minute so you can trust me. Really? I tell you what, let's go and get the sun, and I'll play some of this. 03453-00956. We'll start the show properly in a minute. This is kind of just a slapdash warm up.
Went through some nights concerned.
That's that problem solved. We had The Sun the whole time, just not today's edition of The Sun. We had Friday's edition of The Sun. Joe?
It's Christmas. It does that to you. You forget what day it is.
She stood there looking at the paper going, no, it's not today's, it's Friday's. I know, it's Friday. It's Friday.
You gave me such a filthy look, though.
You gave me a filthy look. Filthy. 03453 00956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We won't get many calls today, and if we do, it'll just be Ramjet. That's all we'll get. Roger Ramjet. That's all we'll get. We won't get any. We won't get anything of substance. Because people... Hey, I tell you what, speaking of being surprised at there being a moment of substance, I had Danny Kelly's show today. It was quite good. What's happened? What did he get for Christmas? A book on how to do radio?
So rude.
So rude. No, I did. Well, the fella at 11 o'clock, the alcoholic, celebrating 10 years of sobriety. Did you hear that?
It was amazing.
Wasn't it good? It was brilliant. And what was great is because Danny certainly gave the impression of not knowing a lot about it and was asking really basic, obvious questions. And I mean that as a compliment. It's really a simple, interesting question. I thought it was brilliant. Well worth a listen
that
on the...
That didn't sound like a compliment,
No,
fairness.
It didn't. No, it didn't sound like a compliment, it's meant as one. It was a fantastic bit of radio. 11 o'clock, and I believe that the BBC has a service called the iPlayer, where you can go and listen to radio again if your mates didn't tape it. Do people still tape the radio? I bought some tapes from an online auction site.
Why?
Well, they were selling them. Just some like albums, cassette albums. My car hasn't got a cassette player anymore, which is very annoying. Mystic Veg. I suspect this show's just going to be me talking rubbish for 2 hours. She predicts future with asparaguses. Asparagi. A fortune teller who makes predictions with asparagi has revealed her tips, clever, for 2015. Could you type a little quieter?
Close my microphone.
OK, yeah, I can do that. That's fine. Jemima Packington... said we can expect football and royalty scandals. How does she know? Petrol price rises. How does she know? And the axing of some reality TV shows. But how does she know all this? She also forecasts a slim general election win. Guess who she says is going to win?
Don't know.
Yeah, she's not saying. She forecasts a slim general election win, but will not say for who.
Very sensible.
What a chancer. Jemima, 59, the world's only asparamancer. That sounds like someone who sleeps with sparrows. Hey, here's a rubbish film, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Isn't that a load of old... I watched that for the first time over the Christmas period. It's like comparing Rocky 2 to Rocky if the Rocky in this equation is Mary Poppins. It's a cheap... Mary Poppins cash in. Utter guff. I've never seen such a rubbish film in my life. Apart from, there's a brilliant bit, right? The young lad in it, so basically they fly around in a bed and Bruce, not Willis, Forsyth is the bad guy in it until the Nazis turn up. Then they're actually badder than Bruce Forsyth, right? But there's a bit where Bruce Forsyth, I think, is trying to get, the bed is controlled by the bed knobs, right? And this is an actual line. The boy says to Bruce Forsyth, "Oi, you, get off my knob." Guys, hello? No? OK. Her predictions for 2015. Oil prices will rise sharply. Turmoil in the EU. How does she know this? A narrow overall majority in the general election. I don't like asparagus. I just think they've got... They're too messy, they're too flimsy. Are you supposed to eat all of it? Or you leave the stub, don't you? You're not supposed to eat... You're getting that typing so noisy.
Close my microphone.
Oh, yeah, that's an option if I answer that. Do you eat all of the asparagus? Because the stub sometimes gets a bit hard, doesn't it? Football will be dogged by scandals. Royal family embroiled in a scandal. And cold weather will extend into spring. How does he know all this? How does he know all this? Hey, here's a question for you, dear listener, and I suspect it's literally just going to be me talking today and you typing. Thank you. You know this dry January, right? If you're doing it, could you grow up, please? Could you grow up? Have a look who's calling in. Look, it's Ramjet. Hello? Roger Ramjet. Yeah. Tell him we're not in. Tell him this is a pre-recorded show and he can't come on. Why are you doing Dry January? I don't understand the point of it. I don't get it. But because I originally thought it was like the ice bucket challenge or no makeup selfies, and that it was for cancer or something. Which, by the way, it's not down to how you live; it's just down to bad luck if you get cancer or not. And also, apparently, it's the best way to die, according to one doctor. Did you see that? It's the best way to die. Oh yeah, right. You tell that to someone who's dying of cancer. It's flipping horrible. I understand what you're saying. It means you have the, as opposed to a sudden death, you get the chance to put your affairs into order. So it's better for the person who's dying. Here's a morbid phone-in, isn't it? What's the best way to die? It's better for the person who's dying. No, hang on. Yeah, it's better for the person who's dying because they get to say goodbye. This is his theory. This is how I've interpreted it. But it's worse for the people around because then they get to watch you suffer. My dad died of cancer. It was flipping horrible.
I think I'd rather go quickly as well.
You would rather go quickly?
Yeah, I would.
I would rather you went quickly. No, I would...
I know nothing about it.
Everyone wants to die in their sleep. I wonder how many people actually die in their sleep. Any? I mean, some must do. But, yeah, this doctor said the best way to... We should stop trying to find a cure for cancer. The best way to die is cancer. Oh, right, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it is. That really painful. Oh, yeah, that's the best way. Anyway, 03453 009956. We can do it as a phone-in. It's a legitimate topic. What's the best way to die? Where is it? I've got it in here somewhere. Hang on. Let's give the fella his credit. Gonna earn me money today. Right. Outspoken Richard Smith, he a doctor. A medical expert has claimed death from cancer is best and that we should stop wasting billions trying to find a cure. Is he a doctor? I don't know. Richard Smith, 62, ex-editor of the British Medical Journal, said while most people wanted a sudden death, it was hard on their families. Right, OK, I see where he's going. In an article in the BMJ, he writes, the long, slow death from dementia may be the most awful as you are slowly erased, but then again, when death comes, it may be just a light kiss. Isn't that romantic? Death from organ failure will have you far too much in hospital and in the hands of doctors. So, death from cancer is the best. What? I mean... these are his reasons as to why it's the best. Happy New Year, guys! He added, you can say goodbye, reflect on your life, leave last messages, but stay away from over-ambitious oncologists and let's stop wasting billions trying to cure cancer. Yeah, let's stop trying to cure cancer. Yeah, cancer research, probably best you close down your... Those cancer research shops have been going for ages and they've still not found a cure for cancer. That's an old Harry Hill joke, by the way, guys. It's the best... you can say goodbye. The thing is, what he's saying here is, of course, we should be doing every day. You can say goodbye, reflect on your life and leave last messages. Well, we should, in theory, be living every day as though it were the last day, as though we wouldn't be here tomorrow. So long and thanks for all the fish. It's been nice working with you, Joe.
If only I could say the same.
Whoa. Happy New Year, guys. Apparently, we can do it as a phone-in. Oh, wait, 03453 009956. I'm not expecting any phone calls today, so don't
We've
worry
got
about
Ranjit.
It.
I'll phone Ranjit.
No. Yes. We can... The person you're calling is calling another radio station at the moment because he's a nosy old windbag. We can do that. The best way to die, please. 03453 009956. It's supposed to be drowning, isn't it? Drowning is supposed to be like a euphoric high. And what a morbid phone-in to be doing. First day back after Christmas. And also, I'm going to phrase this delicately because there are kids off school, OK? I'm going to phrase it delicately. When people are hanged... It's supposed to be for the gentleman. It's supposed to be... I'm not making light of this in the slightest. It's supposed to be very erotic. It's supposed to be pleasurable. And the French even have a phrase for it. I don't know what the phrase is. Bob, do you know what the French... Have you heard this, Bob?
No. All I've heard you do so far is moan.
Sorry?
All I've heard you do so far is moan.
I thought that's what you said.
That's all I've heard. Best way to die is you on radio.
Oh, blimey, that's a little bit harsh.
I don't mean that nasty.
You're dying.
I
didn't take it as a nasty comment, Bob, referring to the best way for me to die. Why would I? What respect do you think I'm dying, Bob? Because I'm having the time of my life here, to be honest.
Oh, I don't know why. Your life must be ever so boring.
It has its moments. It has its ups and downs.
More downs than ups.
Bob, now listen, now you're doing more moaning than me. I expect to moan. I'm a moany old fart these days, but you're doing more moaning than me.
Now, that's it. I'm happy. You've admitted it.
Oh, no, I've never denied it. I've never denied it for one second. Bob, I cannot wait until I'm 75 years old and I've got a flat cap and a cane and I sit at bus stops. Whether I want a bus or not, I am going to be moaning my backside off. Right, bring it on, Bob.
Well, I thought I'd send you with a flat cap and a cane already.
What age can you start legitimately wearing a flat cap?
I suppose.
Well, you can wear a flat cap when you're young, and then there's kind of that middle the bit when you can't carry it off because you look like a plum.
Yeah, you've got to turn into a baseball cap then, haven't you?
You've got... A baseball cap's still a thing?
Yeah, well, I wear a baseball cap.
Well, hang on. Oh, there's a cut-off point for baseball caps. How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
63.
Nah, way off.
69.
No, you're actually quite close. I'm 58.
58, OK. Yeah. Oh, Bob, surely the baseball cap has to stop at, I'm going to say, 39. So 20 years previous.
Nah. You're only as old as you feel.
But you sound old, Bob.
Yeah, well, I'm working, that's why.
Yeah, that'll do it. I'm not. I've got no excuse. Bob, nice to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
Cheers, mate.
Ta-ta, there we go. The cut-off point... This is going to be one hell of a random show. The best way to die... asparagus is, at what age do you stop wearing a baseball cap? It has to be 38, doesn't it? Well, beyond that, you look like, who's the, oh, blimey, my mind's gone completely blank. Who's the bald fella I'm thinking of, Dave?
I don't know.
Not, I want to say Ian Duncan Smith, but not William Hague.
That's it.
If you wear a baseball cap beyond the age of 38, you look like William Hague. And no one wants to look like William Hague, especially William Hague.
Well, I wear a baseball cap.
Oh, God. Oh, blimey. Stop it. You should be wearing a flat cap or a wig.
I ain't wearing a syrup.
I've not heard that phrase for ages. What you got for us, Bob? Dave?
You.
What?
You're depressing.
What?
I'm about pegging it.
What? Oh, blimey. Well, it's flipping it. Well, what do you want me to talk about then? Okay. Here's one for you. If you had a smelly friend, would you tell them they stank?
Yeah, I would.
But how would you phrase it, Dave? Because you've got to be careful with this kind of stuff, haven't you?
Try to sell them in a nice way.
What, give them a can of deodorant or something and say, yeah, have some of this?
Yeah.
Give them some Lynx Africa?
Oh, something like that.
Because that's not very subtle, is it?
Well, you know, you just got to be a bit... No, I have given more deodorant if they've been in my clothes before.
So someone's come into your house and they're stinky, and you've said, here, have a spray of Mitchum. It lasts 48 hours.
Something like that,
blimey,
yeah.
Blimey, you're cold. 03453 009956. What do you say to stinky people? At what age do you have to stop wearing a baseball cap? And what's the best way to die?
We'll be right back.
afternoon. This is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. It's kind of the tail end of the holidays, although really you should all be back at work, shouldn't you? Shouldn't you? 03453 009956. The best ways to die. Asparaguses. Oh, at what age should you stop wearing a baseball hat? No man should wear a baseball hat beyond the age of 38, and no woman should ever wear a baseball hat, should they? I think I'm right on this. 81333, start your text WM. You can send an email, ian.lee, I-A-I-N.L-E-E at bbc.co.uk. Oh, and something's happening in the football as well. We'll find out exactly what's going on in a little bit. Right now, though, let's get the travel.
Well, we've got shopping traffic is our major thing that's causing problems on the roads this afternoon. It's very busy around the Merry Hill Centre, Pedmore Road there, and also the embankment. And Wensbury, just off Junction 9 of the M6, we've got delays due to shopping traffic. That's on Axletree Way. That's affecting both directions. In Birmingham, Stratford Road, that's looking a little bit heavy traffic-wise around the St John's Road traffic lights. And on public transport, we've got delays of up to half an hour on Virgin services. That's north of Birmingham, heading for Stafford due to an overhead line problem at Nuneaton. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 00288.
Thank you very much.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Let's get the news now. Here's Steve Herman.
Good afternoon. The promoters of a New Year's party at the Belfry, where six people were stabbed, have described the event as hugely successful. Nude Nights issued a statement saying there were no issues, trouble or incidents at Bel Air nightclub in the early hours of New Year's Day, despite police saying three of their officers faced mass violence. Rail fares have gone up by an average of 2.2% today, with fares regulated by the government, including season tickets, up by 2.5%. Rail companies say it's the lowest increase in 5 years. Birmingham City Council say they expect to announce the sale of the NEC Group soon. They've said they're making progress with the preferred buyer for the group of venues, which includes the National Exhibition Centre, the ICC, the LG Arena and the Barclaycard Arena. And Tony Pulis is due to give his first press conference as the new West Bromwich Albion head coach shortly. He'll take charge of his first game tomorrow, an FA Cup third round tie at home to Gateshead. The weather expected to be dry and breezy for the rest of the afternoon, largely dry tonight with some snow on higher ground. Lows of 1 Celsius, 34 Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
The reason I'm talking about smelly people is I think it's one of the last great taboos, because you can't make fun of fat people now, rightfully so, unless you're that woman. Katie Hopkins. Then you can. But you can't make fun of them, which is good. Of course, you shouldn't be able to make fun of them. But smelly people, we're still a little bit stinky people. But if you've ever worked with a smelly person, it's a serious thing. Why are we talking about it? Well, three people have been banned from the new multi-million pound library in Birmingham that's having its hours and its staff halved. Three people have been banned because they're too smelly. So imagine being the person, imagine, Mavis, you're the librarian, right? Hello? Oh, blimey. Mavis?
Yeah?
So imagine, Mavis, you're a librarian.
Yes, I'm listening. Sorry.
No, don't.
I've gone over into a tangent.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to hold your hand and we're going to walk up this tangent and see if it's a long romantic lane or a cul-de-sac. Are you with me?
Of course I am. So, I'm very intelligent. I used to be a civil servant.
Well, that means you must be intelligent. So imagine you're a librarian and
yes.
You have to... And I'm a stinky man, right? I really stink. Right.
Oh God, I shouldn't think so. Yes,
no,
go on.
I smell as fragrant as the day I was born. Oh no, hang on, what a horrible image. No, so I'm a stinky man in the library, Mavis, and you have to come up to me and ban me from the library. What would you say?
If you've gone into the library and you can't remember what the hell you went in there for.
No, I remembered. I've gone into the library for a book, but by coincidence I stink. And it's your job as the librarian, Mavis, to kick me out. How are you gonna do it?
Quite easy. Ask what you're interested in, what the book may be about. In other words, were you interested in the Navy, Air Force, or anything like that, or do it yourself and go from there. Simple as that.
The book I'm after is called I Smell Fine by By Sting, Key, Bum.
Good God. Sorry, you didn't hear that.
Sorry?
That's only foreign, isn't it?
Yes, Stinky Bum. They don't do those jokes anymore, do they?
Yes, they do.
How to go hiking by walking boots? No, but Mavis, kick me out of the library. Come on, I really stink in your library.
Well, if you go into the library and you got something, you know what the book is about.
No, but I stink so badly that people are vomiting.
Oh God!
Kick me out of your library, Mavis.
If you're in the library and you want to know where you can get a book...
Yes.
Now, you either got some information about what the book is about...
But you can't even have this conversation with me because the smell emanating from my body is so offensive, you're actually retching.
Oh, I've encountered that in Debenhams. Sorry, whoops, I didn't say that.
No, you did. You did stinky Debenhams.
Pardon?
Hello?
Yes.
What did you call in for, Mavis?
I called in because I was going round in circles.
There we go.
My late husband was Royal Navy, right?
Mm.
And I have the Royal Navy news.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I haven't got the copy whereby they advertise so I can get the Royal Navy calendar.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
So you want...
Well, there might be somebody out there who's ex-Royal Navy knows, because the calendar isn't produced in Portsmouth.
Oh.
It's produced by, obviously, a firm that deals with calendars.
Right. So you want the Royal Navy... Is it just full of hunky men fixing engines and pulling up anchors?
It's called the Royal Navy...
Yes.
Hang on, I've got a couple here. Royal Navy official calendar.
Right.
Royal Navy Sea Power official calendar will be 2015 2014 one.
Well, you want the 2015 one.
I want to know where I can get it from.
Okay. And is it just pictures of hunky men... hello?
Sorry?
Is it just pictures of good-looking men lifting up the anchor?
No, it's pictures of Navy ships, and I've got two sons, and I have to debate which son I'm going to send the calendar when I finish with it, because it goes right through the year, which one I'm going to send to. They're both keen. They both were devastated when the dad died.
Yeah, of course they would be. What a terrible loss.
Well, they were very friendly with the father. I've got two sons.
How long ago was it that their dad passed away, your husband?
6 years.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Mavis.
No, it's all right. Yeah. I go away at Christmas because his birthday, guess it, was Boxing Day.
Was it really?
Yeah, and I tried it once, staying here on my own. I've got friends and I've got a gentleman who's got power of attorney. You know what that is.
Yeah.
And
it was too hard.
I tried it once and it was devastating, despite the boys ringing up.
Oh,
because they
you.
Don't live in Coventry, where I live.
Where do the boys live, Mavis? How far away?
Pardon?
How far away do the boys live?
John is trained to be a priest.
Oh, blimey.
He's in his final three years.
Fantastic.
And lives in Hampshire.
Yep.
And Anthony lives in Morpeth, in Northumberland.
Oh, okay. And you get to see them very often?
John, when I went away this time, and I go to Weston, so I'm allowed to say that, aren't I?
Well, Weston the place, I think you can mention Weston. It's nice Weston.
I went on the Saturday, the 23rd, or whatever it was, and came back on the 27th.
It's nice.
And he had the day off. He didn't work Boxing Day, so he came down Boxing Day from Hampshire.
Fantastic. Well, hang on. Producer Joe is whispering in my ear. What were you saying, Joe?
I think you can get the Royal Navy calendar from the British Legion.
The British Legion might be able to help you, Mavis.
Pardon?
The British Legion might be able to help you, my love.
Yes, all right. I know the British Legion. I'm friendly. I belong to the British Legion.
Give them a word and they might be able to sort you out.
OK, then. Bless you.
Thank you, Mavis.
Ta-ta.
Bye-bye. There we go. It was absolutely delightful, wasn't she? Well done, Joe. You see, look at that. So we got somewhere. She couldn't chuck anyone out of her library, though, could she? Could she, Patrick? Hello?
Ian.
Patrick?
Ian.
Patrick?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can, but only through the radio in the background.
Oh, flipping it. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll play a song and we'll sort it out. I've got no idea what's going on. 03453 009956.
winter coat, the one you love to wear. So I keep feeling close to us beyond compare. The moments waking up, you catch me in your eyes. That beauty on my pillow that holds me in the night.
Patrick, I'm yours.
All right, mate.
Yeah, come give us a cuddle.
My arms aren't long enough. I will say, Ian, I love the show. I love the way you aggravate us.
What?
It's brilliant.
No,
keep it up.
No, none of that. No. This is a loving, welcoming show where everybody is embraced and given a big kiss on the cheeks.
I believe you.
Bless you. What have you got for us, Patrick?
Baseball caps.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They shouldn't be worn by anybody over 10 or 11 years old. Nothing horrible.
I didn't know that baseball caps were still a thing. And I don't think I've seen a baseball cap for ages.
And you know the worst thing in the world?
Yeah.
I'm 58 years old, seeing an old man in a baseball cap.
Do you know the two things that break my heart? Seeing an old man in a baseball cap and an old woman in McDonald's eating on her own. I don't know why. I find those two images the saddest images in the world.
It could be an old man in a baseball cap trying to pull the old woman in.
Exactly. And it's not in any way to knock McDonald's. I had one this morning, but for breakfast. But there's something about that image that breaks my heart. But I do like hats, though.
I don't. I'm not a hat fan. I mean, when my daughters were growing up, they used to come with mates and they had baseball caps. They could not wear them in my house.
Oh.
I used to think it disrespectful.
You take a hat. Here's the thing, right? I've seen people wearing baseball hats in church.
Yeah, I just find it totally disrespectful to wear it, indoors of any type.
Why don't you? You're not supposed to wear hats in church, right? But yet, if you go to a wedding in a church, all the women are wearing hats and they can't take them off because they're stuck on.
The thing about church, in a Catholic church, a woman is supposed to cover her head.
Yeah. Oh, is she?
Right, yeah. Whether it's a hat, a scarf or whatever, they're supposed to cover the head. And a man's supposed to take his hat, cap or whatever he's wearing.
Oh, okay. Now. Right, I see.
What I hate as well is baseball caps being worn the wrong way. How the hell? They want to invest in a mirror?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, again, dying.
What's the best way to die, Patrick?
It's got to be fast, it's got to be quick, it's got to be over and done with. Sod what you leave behind, you just do me there and then.
Yeah.
And I'll say that from, I had a sister, she's been dead 25 years, she was 26 when she died. And she was diagnosed cancer, given 12 months to live. And I always remember saying to her, how are you feeling? She just burst into tears one day and says, terrified. She says, you don't know what it's like to put your head on the pillow and not know if you're going to wake up in the morning.
My dad had cancer, and he told me in November of... I get so confused with the years. I'm going to say 2012. And he told me he had a year. He was dead by February 2013, OK? And there wasn't really, he wasn't really well enough long enough to kind of do anything to settle his finances or his, you know, to lay anything to rest.
Sod my finances, I do not want to be lingering. I don't want to be lying in the bed. I don't want somebody changing me.
No.
You know, if I die, I want to be hit by a bus, so I want to fall off the edge of a cliff, or I just want to have a heart attack.
Now, listen, the falling off the edge of the cliff, Patrick, because I wonder, at what point do you... Oh, this is such a horrible phone-in, isn't it? At what point do you die? Do you die when you hit the floor, or do you die of the shock of falling down? Because that, for at least three, four, 5 seconds, you're going to be aware that you're falling off a cliff.
Oh, no. It's fill your pants time, and they'd find me by the smell, I'm telling you.
Oh, flipping it, Patrick. Deary me. Oh, please, I mean, look, first show back. Let's try and raise the bar. We could potentially have a very spiritual, intellectual debate about the best way to die. Instead, we've got something like Patrick doing a whoopsie as he falls off a cliff. Dave's on the line. Good morning, Dave. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hiya, good afternoon.
What you got for us, boss?
Smelly people.
Yes.
There's nothing worse.
It's awkward, isn't it?
Nothing worse. If you go to an event, say, a concert, football match... I mean, luckily, the team I follow, they all smell nice.
Hang on a minute. Well, I know very little about football, so tell me, what team has got the nicest-smelling fans?
Well, I don't know the nicest-smelling fans. Well, what happens, it's all seated, isn't it?
Right.
So, if you get somebody who's not a non-regular that comes, say, like, to the odd game,
yeah,
and they're smelly and they sit by you, there's nothing worse.
Yeah.
Nothing worse. It puts you off the match.
But I think... Can I tell you something I like?
Yeah.
My own smell. When I've been stinky, right, for a few days, and I've not had a shower or anything, for a couple of days, it happens, right?
Yeah.
And you just get a whiff of your own body aroma.
Oh, right.
Now, it's like I'm going to say this once. I think I can say this once. We all like the smell of our own farts. And it's true, I know, but no, and I like my own body odour, Dave, is something very powerful about it.
Really?
Man musk.
We're on about smelly people here, aren't we? People that don't wash, yeah, dirty clothes, grubby.
But what do you say? Do you ever say anything to them? Can you say anything to them?
No. I just walk away, try and keep away from them.
Yeah.
I've become paranoid by it, I think, over time.
Yeah.
It's just... There's no excuse for it, is there? There's washing machines, there's soap. How much does a bar of soap cost?
Well, if you kind of live on your own, right, and you kind of... I don't know. There is no excuse for it. You just go and have a shower. There is. I'm trying to think of an excuse for it, but there is no excuse for it.
Everybody's got water, haven't they? Hot water.
Most people have.
I would imagine most people have got a water.
You would think so.
Most people got a washing machine.
Yep.
It's just, you know, what can you say?
Dave, listen. Thank you. 03453 009956. Here's a question that we may never get the answer to. I'm going to put it out there. Have you ever been a smelly person? Maybe you're one of those people. Well, years ago, another radio station, there was someone who smelled. And it was a bit of a laugh to start with. But it was, I mean, he really did smell to the point where we were holding our breath when he was in the room with us. And when he left, the air freshener would come out because it stank. And we had a bit of a laugh. And then after a while, someone said, we got to talk to him about this. And we did Ip-Dip. You know, Sky Blue, and someone was voted to go and talk to him, and they took them aside and had the conversation. Which wouldn't you want to have the if you were the stinky person? Wouldn't you want to have the conversation? Wouldn't you want someone to say to you, "Look, Joe, I've got to be honest, you stink." I mean, they'd say.
Well,
better,
I was going
to
say
you're a really smelly person. You're making everyone feel nauseous, and it's just unpleasant. You'd want that, wouldn't you? I would. Choose discomfort over resentment. I would rather feel the embarrassment in the short term, but know that ultimately I was smelling of yeah.
Are you sure?
Listen, I use Lynx Apollo, so there's no way I'm stinking.
Hey,
blimey.
Not so sure about that.
03453 009956.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM.
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. 03453 009956. It's kind of random today. Best ways to die. Smelly people. I want anything else you fancy. Baseball caps as well, for some reason. John's in Castle Bromwich. Good afternoon, John.
Hello, Ian. Yes, they've got me on to talk about fairy lights.
Yes.
But I think there's something more important.
Yeah, go on.
I think you're on the subject of dying.
Yes.
And alcoholism was on the... as you mentioned earlier on the way, Danny Kelly presented his show.
It was good,
with
wasn't it?
A couple of lads from AI and on all family groups.
Yep.
Now, dying, it can be associated to alcoholism.
Yeah,
many people are dying as a result because they don't know any way out of this situation. So what I'm going to suggest is AI is all right for the drinker, but the family that are affected and the group that I belong to, Al-Anon,
yeah,
you know, we can help those families get through this situation. It is an horrendous
Now, listen, because I was going to say, John, I've got many friends who are in AA and many friends are in Al-Anon. And Al-Anon is the group for... You're not an alcoholic, but maybe wife is, or your son is, or your mum or your dad or whatever.
That's it.
And that supports the family, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah, we get affected by their behaviour.
Yeah.
When they're drinking, and alcohol is so powerful to anyone, really. Not even just a normal drinker, it can change your attitude, you know, with a single drink. Now, Al-Anon doesn't go along the temperance road. We're not opposed to drinking. That's fine. Where we get concerned and where we get dragged in is when that alcohol and the behaviour of that person starts to affect your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You lose sleep, you worry, you know, you become as mad as what the alcoholic
and
is.
If it's someone's close to you, like, you know, a close relative or a loved one, then you're going to get sucked into it unless you have got the skills or the tools to kind of take a step back.
That's the word, the tools.
Yeah.
And we developed the tools in Al-Anon because there's a lot of experience, strength and hope. You know, Al-Anon is the other side or the other arm of of AA. It grew out of AA as a result of the wives and girlfriends.
Yeah.
And we're so grateful for that, you know, because, you know, that's the way we start to get better. And we get better, we can have a change of attitude, and as a result, that change, what we start to learn different things, spiritual things, because we get to the end of our tether as a result of losing our spirituality. You know, we react badly to an alcoholic, we shout and bawl and threaten, even threaten to kill him, which I have done. You know, with my son's alcoholism.
I was going to ask, John, who is it?
Better. I didn't know any better.
It's your your son who's the alcoholic, is it?
That's correct, Ian, yeah.
Can I ask how old he is?
I shouldn't tell you, really.
Okay,
he's going to 50, and I think he never thought, and none of us, he didn't think he'd get to 50, but, you know, he's 5 years sober now.
Hey, John, were you the fella that was on Danny's show earlier?
I was earlier,
it was you?
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought the story sounded familiar.
Yeah.
And he got sober in the rooms, did he?
In the rooms, yeah. He was in and out of rooms. He slipped, but eventually, he got the message. He's a wonderful
person
in society now, and we communicate. He's lots of love, and he's still in the rooms, and that's the way he's going to stay sober, and that's the way he's going to help other people to stay sober. Were you in Al-Anon? Can I give you a number, Ian, please?
I'll give it in a second so that people have got a chance to get a paper. I just wanted to say thank you, John, because I heard you as I was driving in today,
good.
Thought that you and the other gentleman who's 10 years sober tomorrow, I thought you gave a very powerful and very impressive message about something that some people don't quite understand what it is.
That's right.
It's a disease.
Yeah, it is. It is a disease and illness. No sane person would drink like they have to drink in the morning and everything, you know. And sometimes they can manage to get to work, but eventually it'll catch up with them where they'll lose the job, they'll lose the driving license, they'll lose everything. But we in Al-Anon can come to, you know, our own little meeting, very similarly in a circle and talk, and then we've got something there to kind of keep us going, if you like. You know, we've got another family and we're no longer alone. There are other people going through the same situation. Just before I go, you know, I'd love to do a programme with you on this in the future, because I think you're pretty wised up on...
Do you know what, John? We'll get you in one Saturday for a bit of the show.
On a Saturday in a few weeks' time, whenever.
Give us the phone number for Al-Anon for those people, and they can go and Google it and all of that, and I'll put you back to producer Joe, and we'll get you on one Saturday to have a chat.
God bless you anyway, and thank you. You're a great pro. You're a bit of a wind-up merchant, but that's the way to...
What's the phone number?
You've wound me up to the fact that I've rang you today on a serious subject, but I'm halfway checking me fairly light.
Give me the blooming phone number, John!
Phone number! Right, coming up. The Al-Anon helpline.
Yes.
020.
Yes.
7403. 0888.
John, stay on the line. Joe will take your details. And let's get John on one Saturday. Let's give it a couple of months or so. This is a bit of a break between that and Danny's show. But I thought, if you missed it, 11 o'clock, Danny Kelly's had a few lessons over the Christmas period. It's a cracking hour. Robin's in King's Heath. Good afternoon, Robin.
Hello there, Ian.
What you got for us, fella?
Well, I was thinking about the best way to die.
Oh, yeah. And yes, something you think about often?
Well, no, only this afternoon.
Yeah.
But as I like ice cream, I was thinking a nice big vat of ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
But do you drown or do you freeze from hypothermia?
Oh, flipping heck. Flipping heck. Well, what I don't get is, why is ice cream measured in liquid measurements? You measure ice cream by the pint, don't you? Or did I dream that? Is that just
in
a dream?
I've no idea.
Is it litres?
Yeah, I'm sure it's litres. You buy 4 litres of ice cream.
So why do you measure it in a liquid? It's a solid.
Do they pour it into the thing as a liquid and then freeze it?
What, walls? No.
I don't know.
It just must be like a big... I've got literally no idea how walls make ice cream.
Well, it starts off as a liquid.
Well, it's milk.
It's a custard base and then you have...
Hang on a minute, Robin. They don't make ice cream from custard. They make it from milk.
Yeah, and you use milk for custard.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. But you use milk for tea. But you couldn't say it's a tea based product.
No, I've got an ice cream maker, and you make a sort of custard base, and then add things to it.
Yeah.
Well, I know. Don't start agreeing with the callers, Joe. For goodness sakes. But it's made. It's not made. But you go flipping.
He's
it.
Right.
No, right. Your microphone's off. You're about to get cut off in a second, Robin. You don't make it from custard. You make it from milk.
Yeah, and you make the custard from milk.
Here's the question for you, Robin. Best ice cream flavour. Get this answer wrong and you are banned from the show for the rest of 2015.
Well, I'm fairly conservative, and I like... is one they do in the cinema foyers, which is cherry with chocolate chip.
Goodbye, Robin. Cherry. I didn't know we had deviants listening to the show. He's not banned for the rest of the year, but he's certainly banned until 4 o'clock this afternoon on BBC WM 95.6. Cherry. Here are the things that I don't get, OK? The ice cream flavours I don't get. Cherry, rum and raisin, tutti frutti. Tutti gaggy, tutti pukey. What is that all about? It is horrible. The worst flavour in the world. Are you still there, Robin? Robin? I can hear you. What are you doing? Robin? Can you hear him, Joe?
I think he's put the phone down.
Robin!
Phone line.
He's gone. Let's get some travel news.
Well, traffic's not looking too bad across the West Midlands at the moment. Motorways are running well, no problems to report there. We have got some delays around our shopping centres, though. Pedmore Road and the embankment at Briley Hill around the Merry Hill Centre, they're busy. As are Axletree Ray, that's as you head towards the Gallagher Retail Park at Junction 9 of the M6. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel 08453 002288.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
It's bang on 3 o'clock. Let's get the news. Here's Steve Herman.
Good afternoon. The new West Bromwich Albion head coach, Tony Pulis, has stressed he's very clear who has responsibility for each area of the club. Speaking at his first Baggies press conference, the former Stoke and Crystal Palace manager says he's also received assurances that he'll have a say over the transfer policy at the Hawthorns. Pulis insists he's not concerned about job titles.
Someone said to me, do you mind being called head coach? You can call me Ed Bottle Washer if you want. It doesn't make the titles don't make no difference. You know, as long as I know, you know, that there's specific responsibilities I'm in charge of, then that's not a problem.
And we'll hear more from Tony Pulis after 4 o'clock here on BBC WM. In other news this afternoon, the promoters of a New Year's party at the Belfry where six people were stabbed have described the event as hugely successful. Nude Nights issued a statement saying there were no issues, trouble or incidents at Bel Air nightclub in the early hours of New Year's Day. That's despite police saying three of their officers faced mass violence inside and outside the venue near Sutton Coalfield. Detective Superintendent Adrian McGee says his officers showed real bravery.
Whether they recognised they were armed with knives at that particular moment in time, what they saw in front of them was fights occurring. Sometimes knives aren't obvious in those fights, but they were in different locations in the car park outside the Bel Air, and sort of then trying to bring that under control, but protecting themselves, and then people presenting to them with stab wounds.
The Prime Minister says rail fares have gone up today so they can pay for improvements to the network. Tickets have increased by an average of 2.2%. Campaign groups argue that fare increases have gone up far more than wages have. But David Cameron says improving our transport systems is key to a stronger economy.
And you see, the biggest investment in our roads, since the 1970s, but in our railways since Victorian times, and it's very important we continue that investment because it's an absolutely key part to our long-term economic plan. It's about staying on the road to a stronger economy, which you can only have if you have the infrastructure that a stronger economy needs.
Birmingham City Council say they expect to announce the sale of the NEC Group soon. They've said they're making progress with a preferred buyer for the group of venues, which includes the National Exhibition Centre, the ICC, the LG Arena and the Barclaycard Arena. It's being sold because the authority faces a £1.1 billion bill for equal pay claims. Coast Guards have rescued hundreds of migrants stranded on a merchant ship after the crew abandoned them 40 miles off the southern coast of Italy. It's the second time this week that suspected people smugglers have left a ship to drift into Italian waters. The United Nations Refugee Agency has said more needs to be done to help keep desperate people from countries like Syria out of the hands of the traffickers. And researchers have been explaining the findings of a study which suggests most types of cancer are the result of bad luck rather than an unhealthy lifestyle or genetic factors. Scientists in the United States found that two-thirds of cancers, like liver, pancreatic and thyroid, were caused by random mutations as cells divided. Professor Carol Sikora from the University of Buckingham's Medical School says the findings demonstrated that nothing could be done to prevent some cancers.
For pancreas cancer, for example, there's absolutely nothing you can do to reduce the risk of that. That's just fate. And I guess cancer is a design fault of biology. We're not designed to live as long as we live. The human body is designed to live to be about 40.
Taking a look at the weather, it's going to be dry and breezy for the rest of the afternoon across Birmingham and the Black Country. Largely dry tonight, although some high ground will see some snow with a low of 1 Celsius, 34 Fahrenheit. Saturday is expected to be wet with occasional sunshine, highs of 5 Celsius, that's 41 Fahrenheit. BBC WM 95.6 News, there's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Who is the best presenter on BBC WM 95.6?
Danny Kelly.
Who's the second best presenter?
Caroline Martin.
Ian Lee.
BBC WM 95.6.
Afternoon. It's been a mixed show so far. It's the first one back. We're allowed to be a little bit mixed. We're back tomorrow between 9 and 12, by the way. We're talking about the best way to die. Stinky people. Have you taken down your Christmas decorations? Are you back at work yet? Why aren't you back at work? Everything's back to normal now, isn't it? 03453 009956. That wasn't meant to happen. Hang on a minute. This was meant to happen.
Good morning,
Mr. Mike Ham.
Here we are again, nice bright and early.
Phil's here through till 9 o'clock today here on BBC WM. It's the home of gardening. Your calls, your questions, invited.
Molly Green.
Saturdays, 6 till 9.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM.
95.6.
Thank you. 03453 009956. So the Star and other papers as well have put pictures of... I don't know what this is. It was a mild New Year's Day. But maybe these bikini babes forgot the water was still freezing. I don't think they'd forgotten. They waded into the North Sea at Whitley Bay, North Tyneside, and were soon shrieking with cold. Meanwhile, couples in wedding outfits took their traditional January the 1st dip at Lyme Regis in Dorset. Then there's a picture of a big lady jumping into the water dressed as Superman. I don't know, why do people do this? Do you get this, Terry? Why do people feel the need to go into the cold water on New Year's Day in their wedding outfits or in bikinis or dressed as Superman?
Because they're daft as a brush.
Aren't they just, though? People like this annoy me. And I tell you who else annoys me, Terry. You, but let's put that to one side.
Oh, please, your bloody self. Oh, that's it. The dog's shouting at you.
I'm glad the dog was shouting. I wonder what the dog was doing at me. Dry January. I do not get the point of dry January. What is that all about? I thought it was for charity, and then it's not. It's just people going, oh, I'm going to go a whole month without drinking. Look at me.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned January. I'm going to go off course now.
Go on.
3 or 4 years ago, it was January. I was in Toronto, and of course it was cold, but it was dry.
Yes.
And there's me hanging on to my baseball cap.
Oy, you're an old man in a baseball cap.
For dear life. And this Canadian lady walked past me and looked at me, and I said to her, I said, well, I can't really turn you backwards, I'm going to look silly. And she says, go for it. So I put it on backwards.
Oh,
and it stayed on.
I'm being reliably informed that a man I've never heard of, Tony Pulis, is that his name?
I don't know.
He's the new West Brom head coach, of all people.
Oh, don't talk about football, please. I loathe it.
Me too. He wears a baseball cap.
Oh, well, good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck to him.
I don't wear them now. I wear a lot of sort of, you know, modern type caps.
What's a modern type cap?
Well, they don't really have a peak. I don't know how to describe them.
A beanie? Pardon? Is it a beanie?
No, I've got one beanie, but these, I don't know, they're from H&M, and I've got a lot of different hats.
What? Describe it to me.
Well, it's similar to a cap, but rather than having a peak that sticks out, it's sewn into the hat itself, so it's a, you know, sort of a one...
So it's still got a peak?
No, the peak itself is sewn into the hat and it comes over the front of the head.
So it's
very difficult to explain.
So it's still got a peak, so it looks like a baseball cap?
Well, no, it's...
Well, hang on, you've just said it's still got a peak.
Yeah, but it's not an obvious peak.
What?
It's sort of sewn into underneath as well. It doesn't stick out. And
Mohammed, have you got any idea what Terry's banging on about?
No, I can hear him talking
about please.
A peak cap. And the peak's hidden inside the cap. I know what he means.
Do you mean like a cloth cap? Like
it's like a cloth cap, yeah.
Yes.
But the peak is sewn along the top of it, but it's still peak cap.
Yes, that's right.
Right, OK. Well, Terry, thanks, I think.
Bit like what they wear in Peaky Blinders.
Oh, flip. Oh, right, OK. Oh. Am I the only person in the world? I know it's blasphemy to say it here. I've never seen Peaky Blinders.
I don't like it myself.
Mohammed, I tell you what, Terry, why don't you talk to Mohammed and see what he's called in about. I'll shut up.
Well, I was going to say thank you. I enjoyed your show yesterday. And thank you for making me a minor celebrity. Giggle. He's gone. Who am I talking? Is there anybody there?
I don't know. You're not talking to me, are you?
What?
Being a Queen celebrity.
You shut your fat. Oh, I'm talking to somebody else. What's he doing? Who am I talking to? And
who are you telling to shut up?
Oh, sorry.
Guys, Terry, Mohammed, you're both gentlemen of, let's be polite, a certain age. Do you not know how to have a conversation?
He's telling me to shut up. I didn't know I was supposed to be talking to him.
No, I'm telling somebody.
Oh, right, Terry, bye-bye. Yeah, Mohammed, what would you like to say?
Yeah. I was told you're talking about dry monthly or something.
It's dry January, right? Which is this thing where everyone stops drinking booze for a month. And I just think, grow up. Why? What's the point of it? Either drink responsibly or don't drink.
Well, my mate's doing it, so I don't know why he's doing it. I said to him, what are you going to do with the money you're going to save? I said, give it to charity.
He said, no, I'm going to have a massive booze up on February the 1st.
He probably would, knowing my mate, yeah.
I just don't... Listen, why does everyone have to make... Why does everyone have to put their hand up and say, look at me, I'm doing something? Which, you know, really, I don't get the point.
It's a trendy thing, isn't it? It's trendy. They keep bringing these things out, don't they? It's no smoke. What do they call it when they wanted everybody to stop smoking for a month?
There's Stoptober, there's Movember, there's Beer December, or Beer Ember, they've called it. It's honestly, it's a real thing. where you're supposed to grow a beard for December, and it's yeah. called Decembeard. That's what it is, Decembeard.
Well, I wanted to comment on the AI that everybody's talking about at the moment. I heard on Danny's show as well this morning.
The Alcoholics Anonymous, just, opposed to the Automobile Association.
Yeah. Alcoholics
Assessments, yes.
Yeah, anyway, it don't work for everybody. You know?
No, it doesn't.
And I don't want everybody getting the impression that if they've got a drink problem and they're sitting at home drinking a bottle of whiskey or they're getting drunk on cider or whatever they're getting drunk on, that just going to Alcoholics Anonymous will solve the problem, because it won't. I mean, I tried it. I tried every single rehab I could get into, and it never done anything for me. What got me sober, and I've been sober for 4 years now, I nearly died of liver disease, and I was in hospital with, like, a little yellow banana.
What a beautiful description. And,
yeah, I was, yeah. I was yellow from head to toe.
And your only wee.
Yeah. And, anyway, I was fit enough to go home, and I heard this woman visiting somebody, and she said, what's that guy doing? He's up making coffee for everybody, and he's walking around doing this. What's wrong with him? So I felt a bit guilty, like, you know, so I said to the doctor, am I taking the bed up here? I should be home, shouldn't I? He says, do you want to go home? I says, what do you mean? He says, well, I'll tell you when I need that bed. He says, if you want to stay, stay. And I ended up staying in that hospital for 2 months. And the reason he didn't want me to go home was because he knew that as soon as I left that hospital, I'd go back on the beer.
Yeah.
So that doctor saved my life. And since that day, I've never had a drink.
Have you never fancied a little drink every now and then? Or is that it's gone? The desire has gone?
I have laughed about it and thought, oh, I wonder what a pint of lager tastes like. But now that I've became a Muslim, and the reason I wouldn't become a Muslim 20 years ago when I wanted to was because I didn't think I would ever do it because of the drink.
Yeah.
And now don't think that I'm a Muslim to stop me drinking, because that's nonsense, because I know Muslims around me who do drink. They're not supposed to, but they do. But I wouldn't do that because I can't be a hypocrite. I wouldn't do it. But it was the doctor who kept me in that hospital. And plus the nurses, there was no pressure from AA, there was no pressure from the rehabs, places like that where I went in Ireland. I went all the way to County Cork, and I spent all that money to go to County Cork, and I only spent 2 weeks, and I was in the pub in Ireland. So it didn't work for me.
No.
But, you know, they do a good job, but I couldn't envisage myself going to an AA meeting every night of the week, and that's what some of them do. And if that's what it needs to stop them drinking, that's good for them, but I couldn't do it because I don't want to talk about alcohol every night of the week.
Mohammed, you found it's AA works for some people, and you found what works for you, and that's got to be a blessing, isn't it? Well done. How long did you say? 4 years?
It's about 4 years now.
Beautiful. There you go. Fantastic, Mohammed. 03453 009956. Yeah. So we're doing the best way to die. We might as well have a look at this. Coffin bodgers. I love this. All the papers have been kind of recycling each other's stories the last week or so. This was in the paper the other day. Old graves dug up to make way for vicar's new home. A vicar has outraged his neighbours by digging graves up to make way for his new family home. He's not been out the back with a shovel. They've had diggers in and stuff. Bodies had to be exhumed after human remains were found during the construction of the four-bedroom house for Reverend Wayne Dulson. Locals, including children, it says, watched on in horror as bones were transferred into coffins and then carried away by diggers. Right, well, hang on a second. What were the kids... If they were horrified, what were the parents doing there? The kids watch it being dug up in the first place. And it sounds quite respectful. The bones were transferred into coffins and then carried away. Oh, so that's quite a respectful thing to do. It's thought the remains, which were found within the grounds of Loughton Baptist Church in Essex, are at least 150 years old. Oh, hang on a second. So it's not Nan. It's not Aunt Ethel. It's not Dad. It's not even great-great-great-gran. Furious Colin Hart, 50, whose family home backs onto the church, said, "How can you justify digging up the remains of someone's loved one just to put a building there? It's irresponsible. We want the bodies to be left in peace." But it's nobody's loved one. They're 150 years old, Ranjit.
Hiya. You all right?
His wife, Julie Hart, 48, a mum of three, said, "We woke to the sound of a JCB out the back and you could see them loading coffins from the garden. What really gets us is the total lack of respect the Reverend had for the dead." About 25 bodies were found during work on an extension to the church's nursery in 2013. Oh, dearie me. I don't see the big... These bones have been there for 150 years, for goodness sakes, Ramjet.
Hiya, you're right.
Hello, I'm talking to you.
I'm talking to you.
No, but you're initiating a hello conversation. We're beyond that. I'm inviting you to join me in this conversation about them digging up dead bodies.
Well, some people are going to be dug up, ain't they? Not me. You've dug me up today.
Some people have got to be dug up, aren't they?
Yes. Listen, Happy New Year to you first.
No, 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 no.
I'm going now.
No, well, I'm not accepting it. I'm sending it back. It's too late.
No.
It's too late.
I done it yesterday.
Well, it's too late. I'm not interested. Happy New Year, it's too late.
Okay.
No one's interested. Well, you might as well just wish me happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And listen, that Mavis wasn't listening to you, was she, when you was on about the libraries?
No,
that?
She wasn't listening.
She didn't. So you're losing your knack now.
But I don't think I ever had a knack with you lot.
No.
I'm yay close to jacking this all in and going and living on a kibbutz. I don't actually know what a kibbutz is, but I'm going to go and live on one.
Don't pack up yet.
No, well, I'm yay close, Ranjit. I've got my fingers and my thumb about what's that, an inch apart. I'm yay close to packing this in living in a kibbutz.
Don't pack it in yet.
And growing marijuana.
Oh, that sounds good.
No, it doesn't at all.
About your fortune tellers, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what you should do is go up and slap them one.
Sorry?
Give him a good slap when you go and see your fortune.
Here we go. Someone's been having a lot of crackers over Christmas. Away you go.
Well, okay, because really, if they can tell your fortune,
yeah,
they should know that someone was going to come up and give him a good slap if then you could tell the future.
Right, exactly, yes.
Yeah, so that's my view on that, yeah?
Well done. I see what you've done there.
My view on dry January. Yes. I tried to have a dry January yesterday, right, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
So I possibly think I can give people advice. Don't start it till the festivities are over.
Yes.
And then probably start later on, like December the 31st.
But why would anybody want to have a dry... I don't understand what the point of it is, Ranjit.
What you're doing is refreshing your body. I mean, a lot of my friends, they have a day...
Why have you all got to make a big song and dance? Just refresh it. Don't hashtag it or tell me about it.
No, you don't have to tell anybody. There's loads of people that probably don't drink on one day in the week, which just replenishes their body.
Right,
know?
Right.
Okay, so I don't want to bore you with that.
Okay.
But all these things like this Movember and all this kind of thing, I think they're just a load of rubbish, I personally. Yeah, if you want to do something for charity, go out secretly and just do it.
Exactly, go out and do it.
Go out and do it.
Ranjit.
Stop agreeing with me.
No, I'm going to cut you off now because you're boring me.
No,
thank you very much indeed. Yes. 03453-009956 is the phone number. ian.lee@bbc.co.uk. Oh, and I've got some texts as well. I'll do some texts in a bit.
Hot sun beating down, burning my feet just walking around. Hot sun making me sweat. Gators getting close, hasn't got me yet.
Oh 03453-009956 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome to. Now, West Bromwich Albion's new head coach, Tony Pulis, am I saying that right?
That's good.
That'll do. Has been talking to the media for the first time since he was chosen as successor to Alan Irvine. Irvine's good as well.
Thank you. Instincts are top on.
Look at this. Football, isn't it? It's in my blood. The former Stoke and Crystal Palace manager inherits a team standing 17th in the Premier League, one position above the relegation places. This is a foreign language to me, but it's not a foreign language to Richard Wilford. Richard, tell me what's been going on. What is this all about?
Yeah, Tony Pulis appointed as the new head coach of West Bromwich Albion officially yesterday. Watched them draw at West Ham and interviewed a bit at half-time with them. He couldn't resist getting involved in his first game after Alan Irvine lost his job during the Christmas period. And so Albion had to make an appointment pretty quickly because they're in a little bit of danger towards the foot of the Premier League. And Pulis has been telling the media today that he had little hesitation about taking the job.
It's the right club at the right time in lots of respects. You know, I've got a decent record of going to places and helping places turn round. I think the fact that the club has struggled, you know, someone's just told me they've only won 4 games at the Hawthorns in 2014. So there's got to be something wrong, and there's got to be something that has to be sorted out. So, you know, it'll be nice. I've worked off with the players yesterday and with them today. They're a very, very decent group of lads. And, you know, like I say, I just can't wait to get going.
You can tell I'm reading from a script. I'll be honest, because you know I know nothing about
football.
I know
you know nothing. Yeah, but I've spoken to you on Saturdays occasionally.
You have done, yeah. And you've made a good job of making me not look as much of an idiot as I am. It says here that Pulis has been a manager at his previous clubs. At the Hawthorns, he's designated as a head coach, and there were concerns, weren't there, Richard, that he might not have accepted the job on those specific terms.
It's true. Well, it's what's in a name. I mean, what would you describe yourself as? Would you describe yourself as a broadcaster, as a presenter, as a journalist, as a comedian?
A chancer.
Well, yeah,
okay. A chancer,
that kind of works.
Yes.
But in this case, it's about who is in charge of things like transfer policy, who's in charge of making decisions on contracts, that sort of thing. And normally that would be a manager. But Pulis says that titles just don't bother him.
There's been a lot said about, you know, the way the club has been, you know, has been run in the past, and now, you know, with me coming in, how it's going to be run in the future. I think the most important thing at a football club is that everybody works together, irrespective of, you know, decision making. You know, whether, you know, someone said to me, do you mind being called head coach? You can call me head bottle washer if you want. It doesn't make, the titles don't make no difference. You know, as long as I know, you know, that there's specific responsibilities I'm in charge of, then that's not a problem. I don't care what people call me or don't.
Now, Richard, if I've got my stats right, and I'm pretty sure I have, this is Albion's fifth successive season in the Premier League. They have got top-flight facilities. They should be all right this season now, shouldn't they? Shouldn't they?
Well, in theory, I mean, Tony Pulis is guarding against that assumption. This great training ground, they've got excellent infrastructure. But, again, see, this is the way I'll lead you by hand.
Yeah, yeah.
In this business, you can have a wonderful studio,
yeah.
But the programmes are only good as the people who make them and the people who be on the microphones. That's the theory, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
So, forgetting about the facilities, Tony Pulis is more concerned about the players on the pitch.
You've got to have players on the pitch to win your games. You know, if you don't have a team to win games and win matches, then, you know, everything, all the surroundings just fall away into insignificance. You know, the supporters come to watch the team win. That team winning then gives you the opportunity to put infrastructure in place. And you know, you should never take your eye off the ball and recognise and realise that, you know, it's the first team and their position in the Premiership that pays for everything else.
He said something good there. Never take your eye off the ball. Well, that seems obvious to me in football.
That's quite an important thing.
That's a basic thing.
Yeah.
Richard, you thank you. You've put that into perspective, and it's crystal clear as mud to me now, so thank you very much.
That's good. If you're even gently enlightened, then here my job is done.
Thank you, boss. Let's get some travel news now, shall we?
Well, it's not looking too bad on the roads across the West Midlands this afternoon. Traffic levels generally a lot lighter than they normally would be due to the extended Christmas break. We've got some delays, though, around some of our shopping parks. The Gallagher Retail Park is one in Wensbury. That's affecting traffic on Axletree Way. In Birmingham, it's looking busy on the Stratford Road. That's between the St John's Road traffic lights there and Stratford Road, yeah, and Small Heath Highway is the other problem spot. That's between Bordesley Circus and Poets' Corner. On the trains, there's still disruption between London Euston and Stafford. That's due to an overhead line problem at Nuneaton, so there may well be some delays there. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 00288.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Let's get the news now. Here's Steve Herman.
Good afternoon. And as you've just been hearing, the new West Bromwich Albion head coach Tony Pulis has stressed he's very clear who has responsibility for each area of the club. Speaking at his first Baggies press conference, the former Stoke and Crystal Palace manager says he's also received assurances that he'll have a say over the transfer policy at the Hawthorns. Police are praising three officers who were caught up in what they've described as mass violence during a New Year's party at the Belfry. They've been called to the Bel Air nightclub on the site near Sutton Coldfield, where six people were stabbed. Five men have been arrested. The sale of Birmingham's NEC Group is expected to be announced soon, according to the City Council. The group of venues, including the ICC and LG Arena, is being sold because the authority faces a £1.1 billion bill for equal pay claims. And a cargo ship carrying hundreds of migrants is being towed into port in southern Italy after being abandoned by its crew in treacherous seas. It's the second time this has happened in Italian waters this week. The weather, it should be dry and breezy for the rest of the afternoon, largely dry tonight as well, although higher ground will see some snow, with lows of 1 Celsius, 34 Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
The best way to die, wearing baseball caps, but even get on to resuscitating a fish. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. And Gordon Ramsay. he? I'll tell you in a bit. 03453 00956. Oh, and smelly people. Here's a long text. It's such a long text. You should have just phoned in instead of sending me anonymous words. Come on, don't be hypocrite. Smelly people may not know they are smelly. I don't think they do. Hang on, where's the hypocrite part in that? I don't understand. No, they probably don't. I don't think smelly people go around going, yeah, I stink. What are you going to do about it? I don't think they're aware of it. You then go on to cite a very specific case. I lost my sense of smell and have no idea when I stink. It's embarrassing to hear that you need a wash, but it's better than making everyone laugh at you or worse. Hate you. Well, just have a shower every day. Put some deodorant on. Maybe a bit of aftershave. What? Maybe have two showers a day, one in the morning, one at night. What? I was told a few times I may have to change my clothes by my sister. Oh, yeah, and change your clothes, I don't know, pretty much every day. Apart from jeans, you can get a good 4 or 5 weeks out of those. I wouldn't say it to a stranger here, smelly, but everyone has a friend or family whose duty is to inform that someone may need a good wash. We had a customer a few weeks ago that smelt so badly, everyone but me was sick in the shop. Blimey, it's like Mr. Creosote. What kind of shop is this? We couldn't tell him. He was the customer who contributed to our wages. But where are his friends and family? Well, not cleaning up the sick in your sick shop. Oh, dear. Ian, I've been looking everywhere for a baseball cap with the peak on the back. And Jay says, it's the most drawn-out, boring, long Christmas ever. I felt so un-Christmassy. Did you feel Christmassy? Was it Christmas for you?
I was fine from Christmas Eve onwards. Once I've been to Christingle, that is Christmas for me. Seeing all the children sing away in the manger. And then I cry, and then that's Christmas.
I didn't get the Christmas vibe at all.
You needed to go to a Christingle.
I don't know what that means.
You know where they have the oranges with the candle in? And they all the children stand in church.
Yeah.
And all their little voices singing away.
I was busy then. How was it Christmas night? I was in bed at 8:30.
I felt sick on Christmas night.
I was just a bit
too much cheese.
Maybe next year it'll be better. Maybe next year. 03453 00956. Ramsay's copycat kitchen nightmare. Blimey. He's got very odd skin, Gordon Ramsay. Pockmarked. Is that the word? Pockmarked. Yeah, very, very liney forehead. And he's got the same chin that my granddad has. It looks like a ginger nut, the biscuit. There's only one letter in it, but TV chef... Oh, that's what he does. Gordon Ramsay is finding it hard to swallow a copycat restaurant, calling itself Gordon Ramsay. The fiery kitchen nightmares star has failed to close down the imposter in Tenerife. Oh, it's in Tenerife. It's not even in a real place. It's in Tenerife. Tenerife and all those islands and the Greek, they're all full of fake places. There's a fake M&S something, one of them. He was furious to discover Gordon Ramsay's lounge cocktail restaurant. That's just words. They just put words together in a random order and hoping it sounds halfway decent. It is tricking diners into thinking it was one of his posh establishments. Despite selling its signature full English with extra bacon at a very affordable price of £3.80. He said at the time, we are taking immediate steps to ensure it does not continue to infringe our intellectual property. This was like, do you remember when the Olympics came over? And if there was like an Olympic cafe or the Olympic news or anything, they got threatened by the International Olympic Committee, who are a bunch of thugs, to change. You can't call your cafe Olympic Cafe. There was a cafe in Fulham, right? I think it had been an Olympic cafe for about 24 years, and the International Olympic Committee turned up with loads of violin cases and Homburg hats, smoking cigars. Hey, you gotta change the name. You can't call yourself that no more. His attempts to force the... is this a place? Puerto Colon.
Puerto Colon?
Yeah, his attempts to force the Puerto Colon. I think I had a Puerto Colon and they gave me a cream for it. His attempts to force the Puerto Colon Cafe to use a different name or shut altogether have so far proved fruitless. Giving evidence at the High Court in a separate civil action, a frustrated Ramsay told the judge, We get thousands of complaints about this. You are having thousands of complaints about Gordon Ramsay's in Puerto Colon. You're having a laugh. Them Beatles and their crazy stereo separation, guys. Here's a tip for the BBC. Load up the mono versions. So, Gordon Ramsay's in Puerto Colon versus Gordon Ramsay's flagship restaurant in Chelsea. Ramsay's, full English, £3.80. Beautiful, I'm in. I'm going to have some of that. Ramsay's, a meal can cost you £195 a person. Flipping heck. £195 a person to eat. You've got to be joking. Oh, the misleading name still appears to be attracting plenty of tourists. They're not going there because they actually think it's Gordon Ramsay's. 03453 00956, by the way. They're not going there because they think it's really Gordon. They're going there because, oh, fry up, £3.80, and they're showing the X Factor. Beautiful, I'll have that. That's what they're going for. And we go to a Greek island every single year, every single year. And I love it. Family there, isn't it? But we avoid kind of all the horrible touristy bits, although I go every now and then because there's a great place where you can get to the internet and a nice milkshake. But that strip up and it's called Lagana in Zakynthos, right? And all the bars, you're in a foreign country, and so all the bars advertise X Factor, Big Brother. None of them advertise Strictly Come Dancing. That's interesting. One of them, their selling point is, we stock ginsters. You're in Greece! Greece, home of some of the best lamb in the world. Apparently the fish is good, although I've never tried it. I've not quite crossed the fish line yet. But some amazing food. You're not going to go there for ginsters. I mean, yes, their pasties are excellent, but still, you're in a foreign country. We went we made a point, not so much now we've got the kids, of walking up and down Laganau once just to see many of the pictures that were in the newspapers today of young women in their pants puking up. And we walked past a bar and there was an Elvis impersonator in the bar. And so we walked, and I said, come on, let's go in there for, just have a little bit of Elvis. It wouldn't hurt. We'll have a little bit of Elvis. We open the door. Literally, as we open the door, he's singing The Wonder of You, right? And he says, right, if you're not singing, you're a flipping... I can't even use any of the language that he used. Basically, he was calling people... he's being derogatory towards homosexuals. And I don't remember Elvis ever saying that. We left immediately. Immediately. 03453-00-9956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Head swearing ban. Sounds good. On parents. Oh, horrible common parents that are swearing. A headmistress... Oh, it's in Essex. You would have thought so. A headmistress has cracked down on swearing and smoking at her school. Not by the pupils, but by their parents. Now, listen, here's the thing, right? Even now... There's nothing weirder. It's probably different for kids now because they can stalk and harass their teachers on Facebook and Twitter, and they even get their mobile phone numbers if they're having an adult relationship with them. But when I was a kid, there was nothing weirder than seeing Mr. Wigington inside British Home Stores on a Saturday afternoon. It blew your mind. Teachers outside of school? How does that happen? I was in Tesco the other day buying a lot of cough medicine, right? And various bits and pieces. I thought I was losing my voice again. And I saw my son's teacher. And it completely freaked me out.
It freaked you out?
Yeah, my son wasn't even there. It freaked me out. And I heard the voice. I recognised that voice. And I looked and I saw it wasn't even his teacher now. It was his teacher from last year. And I had to go and say hello. And I won't give
her... Were you not scared to say hello? You see, I'd still like...
Well, I was.
Not want to go over.
Let's assume her name is Susan Smith. It's not. But let's... I couldn't call her Susan. I had to go, hello, Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Hello, Mrs. Smith. And she went, oh, hello, Ian. It's so nice to see you. How are the boys? Okay. And she says, we had nothing to say. She's not responsible, my kid. I've got nothing in common with her anymore. And she went, oh, I'm here to get some medicine for my chest. And I went, oh, I've got a bad chest as well. And all I could do was I pointed at the shopping in my basket. And I just pointed at it. Right. And all I had at the time was some ginger and some lemons. I was just pointing at it. And she was looking at me, expecting me to say something. And I'm just going...
Were you tongue-tied?
I was tongue-tied. And then I went, OK, Mrs. Smith, I'll see you later. And then I went... I evacuated the premises as quickly as possible.
My son thinks that the teachers sleep at school.
Well, many of them do, and that's broken Britain. Liz Mulcahy. That's Mrs. Mulcahy to you. Acted following complaints from local residents about their behaviour, the parents, when they were dropping off or picking up their children at Fellmore Primary School in Basildon in Essex. In the newsletter, she wrote, the complaints are about blocking the pavements, having to walk through cigarette smoke and also the use of bad language. Please be considerate of local residents. This is brilliant. They've got a 75-year-old and a 74-year-old to complain. It's not all of the parents... But some of the women will get together, says Landon Elloway, and the air turns blue. If I ever swore like that in front of my NCO, I would be in serious trouble. Well, good for Mrs. Mulcahy for stepping in and telling the parents off.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM.
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Done. Nearly.
No more carefree laughter. Silence ever after. Walking through an empty house. Tears in my eyes.
So, here's a story I should have started the show with. I totally forgot. It's brilliant. The front page of The Sun. So, last year in The Sun, they were having a go at Toffs and the High and Mighty. This year, you're going to pick on common people and pick on normal people. 12th Mite. I'm pregnant again, boasts benefits mum of 11. An unemployed benefits mum of 11 is having another baby that we're financing. That's disgusting. Benefit-claiming baby machine, Cheryl Prudham, yesterday announced she's having child number 12. Disgusting. It means Cheryl, 32, conceived weeks after having twins in October, the dirty woman. A new baby means that she and husband, they're married. How disgusting. Robert of Gravesend, Kent, can up the £38,000 a year they claim in welfare by about £700. This is disgusting. I'm not going to read anymore. I know enough. I'm disgusted enough. No, actually, I might turn to page 5 and find a bit more out about this horrible, horrible married couple who are having children. Proud Cheryl Prudham yesterday displayed a baby scan to announce she was expecting her 12th child, igniting a new row over her five-figure benefits. Oh, Cheryl, 32, had twins in October, suggesting she conceived within weeks of giving birth. The dirty, soulless, married mother. She and husband, Robert, 29, currently get £38,000 a year in welfare payments for their brood. A new baby would mean another £700 annually. That should cover a baby. Disgusting. What have they spent some of this money on? In the summer, Cheryl took the children on holiday to Spain. And Robert recently bought an £8,000 car. This is disgusting. Can I read you one paragraph that most people won't have got to in this story? The Prudhams get around a £26,000 a year cap on benefits because both work 20 hours a week as carers for the elderly. Oh, they've got jobs. So hang on a second. All of these benefits, this tax relief, working tax credit and child tax credits, these are to encourage people to go to work. So the Prudhams are working. Oh, right. And you know why they've spent £8,000 on the car? They've got loads of kids. They've got to buy a massive car. I cannot work out why the Sun is having a go at these people. They're working. They're also doing a pretty rotten job that you and I wouldn't want to do. Good afternoon, Nigel.
Hello, mate.
What you got for us?
Well, I can condemn the fact that she's a baby-making machine and she's got 12 children, but at least the guy is married to her and they're not illegitimate.
Well, listen, I don't know why you'd want to condemn her for having kids. She's having kids, they're married, and they're both working. So I don't understand why the Sun is having a go at her, because she's getting working tax credit and child tax credits. All of these benefits are to encourage people to go back to work, and she's gone back to work.
Yep.
They both work 20 hours a week as carers for the elderly. Not a job that I'd want to do, Nigel.
No, Oh, by the way, Happy New Year, boss.
No, flip it. When can we? Okay, listen. From tomorrow, 9 o'clock. No more Happy New Years.
Okay,
it's done. It's done. We're in 2015. Let's just go with it, brother.
Right. So,
yes,
I believe in marriage.
Yes,
I believe anybody who has children within marriage, if they can claim benefits, yes. But
yes,
I'm one of these people who believe that the benefit cap should be about 23,000 a year.
The thing is, though, they won't be getting £38,000 a year. They won't be getting £38,000 cash. They'll see hardly any of that money. The rent will go straight to the landlords. The tax relief will just... They won't pay tax on certain things. I knew I should have started the show with this, and I completely forgot. What a plum. Nigel, I've got to move on just because I want to squeeze Helen in. Good afternoon, Helen.
Squeeze me in.
Oh, cheeky.
Thank you.
You cheeky monkey.
I'm going to say the last of Happy New Year because I only got back this morning.
No, I'm not accepting it. I'm blocking it.
Merry Christmas for this one, then. I'll give you the first match.
For goodness sakes. Right, I had a really disappointing Christmas, Helen.
Pardon?
I didn't feel the Christmas spirit enter me at all this year.
Why?
I don't know.
Would you like me to be your therapist?
How much are you charging?
Sit down and have a chat.
Okay.
No, it's free for you, darling.
Okay, go on then.
We were away for Christmas and New Year.
Oh, it's all about you, is it? Yes.
Okay, then come on, sit down, have a chat. Make yourself comfortable.
No, go on. What, you've been to India.
Yes.
Inja.
And I've only listened to the last of your conversation when you were talking about going abroad and having to find an English pub or where they do English breakfast.
Oh, well, I'm not saying you have to. I despise those people that do that.
Why do that? Why don't you stay at home?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree completely. Why would you go abroad and eat fry-ups every day and eat Ginsters and fish and chips and watch The X Factor? It's pointless.
We had no internet. It was wonderful. Four children, no internet.
How old are the kids?
My son's going to be 18 on Monday.
Yeah. Oh, blimey.
18, 16, 14 and 12.
Okay.
His friend came with us as well. So having very limited internet.
Yeah.
They were like, oh my God, oh my God. Or as the Indians say, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I love India and Pakistan. They are the strangest, most bizarre, but yet wonderful places you can go to. I love them.
I absolutely adore it. Doing it for 20 years now. But to go somewhere...
The Taj Mahal's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
I've never done the Taj Mahal.
It's a bit rubbish.
Never done it.
The best thing about I went there with my wife on our honeymoon, and about 30 years before that, probably about 40 years before that, my in-laws had gone to the Taj Mahal, and they'd had a picture taken on that bench, on the Princess Diana bench, right?
Yeah.
And what we did was we went and completely recreated, even down to the same clothes and pose, the picture that my in-laws did 40 years ago. That was the best thing. Apart from that, it's rubbish.
But Taj?
Yeah, it's rubbish.
I've never been, and the reason I haven't been is because there's too many people there.
Yes.
And it's just a sightseeing
thing. A lot of people, yeah.
I like to go down... We go to Goa, and you go down the village...
Are you a bit of a Goa, Helen?
No, in my team.
Yep, good girl.
Thank you.
Yes.
But we like to go to the villages, and we've made lots of friends over the years, and we go for dinner with them, and they take us to different places, and it's just... And the kids have loved it. I conceived my son in Goa.
Hey, cheeky!
But...
We found out that we were having our son kind of in India. We thought it was our honeymoon, I know. And we thought that my wife might be pregnant. So we went to the hotel saying, can we get a pregnancy? Is there a chemist nearby? And they went, yeah. You go out, turn right, turn left, and it's on the... We ended up at some bloke's house. And we knocked on this door and said, is this the chemist? And the bloke went, yeah, what do you want? He said, have you got a pregnancy test? He went, yeah. And we walked into his house. Literally, and he opened the cupboard, he went, there you go. It didn't work. There's a surprise. But it's good. I love all of that stuff.
It's beautiful, and the people are amazing. And when we took our children back for the first time, my son was 9, and you know you have the henna tattoos on the beach?
Yeah.
He had Made in Goa.
There we go,
back.
You see. There you go. You should have got it done permanently. That would have taught him a lesson.
I do not do tattoos. I hate them.
Good. Oh, Helen, call again, and let's talk more about that. We both seem to hate the same type of thing.
Okay.
Helen, ta-ta.
Ta-ta, darling.
Bye-bye. There we go. I liked India, but I feel I feel I've done India. I couldn't do it. I could do it again. I kind of feel I've done it. It was certainly very exciting. But yeah, we went to get a pregnancy tester, and we were at some bloke's house. Is this the chemist? Yeah. This is your house. Yeah. What do you want? Pregnancy tester? Okay, fine. He just went into a cupboard, rifled through it, passed some old batteries and some old bits of string, and there it was. That's it. That's your lot. If you want some more from us, me and producer Joe tomorrow, we should be back tomorrow morning between 9 and 12. But let me press this button here and get you a little bit of travel.
Well, it's not looking too bad on the roads across the West Midlands today. Traffic levels a lot lighter than they would normally be on a Friday afternoon. A lot of shopping traffic causing some problems in some areas, though. Still got delays heading for the retail park off Junction 9 of the M6. That's affecting Axletree Ray in both ways. And on public transport, still disruption on Virgin services due to an overhead line problem at Nuneaton. Delays of up to an hour. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel. The number to call is 08453 00228.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
A very good afternoon. Friday afternoon, the 2nd of January. Happy New Year. The football phone in. On the way between 6 and 7. Before we do anything else on BBC WM, let's get the main...